Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Today, I got my third Moderna shot, so I got out of work early so I could get to the pharmacy and get that taken care of. And then I went to the comic shop and chatted for a bit. And I picked up a few books, Harvey books. Let's see what I got here. Well, I got the Three Stooges from 1970, number 48 from Gold Key. I got a Jazz Gold. I think this is a special edition of something. Not sure what. Let me see. It just looked like a Bad Girls comic, and maybe it's just called Jazz Number One. Let's see what this is. Yeah, Jazz Number One. So that's from High Impact. You probably heard of that if you were in the 90s. Pick that up. I picked up Spanky and Alfalfa, The Little Rascals. This is one of the Dell books that just keeps on numbering and changes the subject matter every issue. And it says four brand new laugh-filled adventures. And this is number 1174 from Dell. And then I picked up from Harvey Comics. This is The Ghost Quacker, Casper the Friendly Ghost. And featuring Baby Yui, the baby giant. But whatever it is, maybe it's just Harvey, Casper, and Baby Yui, number 9. And it's a dollar, so it tells you the time frame. And then I found a Wendy the Good Witch, number 11. It's a dollar 25. It had Harvey Classics on the cover. And then a Hot Stuff. This one is a 35-cent comic. And it was owned by some kid named Brett Ritchie, because he wrote on it. But it's got Hot Stuff there. And I picked up a 10-cent comic called Joe Palooka Comics Monthly. This is from Harvey Comics. This is number 61. I picked up a Two Gun Kid. I don't have many Two Gun Kids. And this is number 64. And I picked up a comic from Harvey called Warfront, Dynamite Joe, the Blast Crazy Marine. And that's number 37. So those are some pickups. Some Kickstarters came in the mail. We had Athena Voltaire 10 through 12. That's Steve Bryant continuing his Athena Voltaire comics through a Kickstarter. Came with some goodies. We got Warbound, issue number 2. That is from Evolution, who you hear me talk about a lot. And then one that I was really looking forward to, I got Skin Crawl number 1. It's a horror magazine. Thumbing through it. It looks really awesome. I don't know what it's gonna turn out to be. It looks like an anthology, but maybe it's all one story. I can't see the breakup of it, but we'll see what that turns out to be. No, I guess it is an anthology. So, Five Unyielding Tales to Shred Your Mind. That looks pretty cool. And then I got Riot or Rage, sorry, from Palmiotti and Hampton and Lang, hardcover from Paper Films, with the Amanda Connor cover. So that sort of wraps up this week. Also got in the mail. I wanted to complete my Spawn, and it's gonna be a slow get because they're kind of expensive. But I finally picked up that Spawn 226, which is a knockoff of that Hulk comic book where he's Wolverine. You see the Hulk in Wolverine's claws, except this time it's Violator or the clown, and you see Spawn in his knives. So, yeah, I read that issue digitally, but I didn't own it because it was like over $100, and I finally decided to pull the plug. Drinking an Aquafina with it's like a tangerine Crystal Light, really good. I like this one. I'll be buying that one again. I had a raspberry lemonade I took to work. It was pretty good. So, having gone through that, I think I'm gonna go look and see if I have any comics. Oh, I wanted to talk about a couple things before I get there. So, getting more emails about distribution issues from DCBS, like Marvel's not coming in time, blah blah blah. So there's been like a lot of delays in my books. This week, no comics I'm gonna get, but I did see that it's at least packaged finally. So we'll see what happens. And then the other interesting tidbit is Diamond Comics got hacked. And they said there would be delays in stuff because they had to recover from a backup. They got a ransomware kind of thing going on over there. So man, I don't know how LCSs are surviving. It's one thing or another, man. No supplies, you know, they can't. It's probably not an impact to like people that just go get comics, but it's more of an impact to people that are Wednesday warriors. You know, they go in. I wonder if some Wednesday warriors go in and their books aren't there, if they pick up other stuff or try other stuff, or if they just say, "Oh, I'll come in next week." I'd be real curious to see that. But let's see if I have any questions on the Twitter. I might not have any, but I'm going to check anyway under bookmarks. I have a few. So I have from Nick Wetmore. He says, "What character would you like to see in Black Label? Creeper, more question from DC. I'd like to see like a Young Romance in Black Label. See what they could do with a romance comic. A Hawkman Black Label wouldn't be bad. You know, just cut loose with some vicious Hawkman. Adam Strange. Always like Adam Strange. A Death Black Label. After I watched the short. So there's a DVD, the DC Direct to DVD cartoon, the Death of Batman short, and this one has like alternate endings. I would be really curious to see how people watch that digitally, because you have to select choices. You know, like what if Batman saved Robin? What if Robin dies? Or, you know, what if he survived but Batman didn't save him? And you know, all kinds of alternate endings. But what was really special about that DVD was the shorts. It had a Sergeant Rock, it had an Adam Strange, a Death, and what was the other one? Phantom Stranger. And the Death one, man, was God, that was spectacular. It really was really good, and it was really, really depressing. So, yeah. So I hope that answers your question. That's some of the characters I'd like to see. Wild Dog would be pretty cool in a Black Label. Peacemaker for sure. But we already got a one shot coming. Phantom Stranger Black Label, that would be sweet. A Sergeant Rock Black Label, you know, a gritty World War II book. Enemy Ace, a Jonah Hex. I can just keep on going. A lot of the genre books, a nice House of Mystery, House of Secrets with Cain and Abel, that would be sweet. Ghosts Black Label, that would be awesome. Witches Unexpected. Yeah, I could keep on going on and on and on. Shadow Pact, a really dark Shadow Pact, that would be pretty cool. What character would you share cheer wine with? Man, that'd be what character would I like to hang out with and share a cheer wine? Plastic Man, Eel O'Brien. I think it would be fun. He's got a great sense of humor. Elongated Man. And his wife. Why not? When you read some John Sable for the pod since you completed the run, when will you read? I don't know, Nick. I can't plan anything because I'm just a mood reader. That's just my nature. So I can never tell you. That's why I bought Harvey Comics today. You never know what mood I'm going to be in. And I have one from Dallo Spicer, and I can answer this. Here's a question. Valiant have launched a Kickstarter with some unknown creators. What do you think of the move, and would it take you to get it on board? Cost, extras, etc. You know that. Well, Kickstarters are fucking expensive, and I'm finally starting to realize that I could save hundreds a month if I don't do the Kickstarters. And those hundreds a month can save for extra storage units. So, for this one, I chose to get it. And I was glad you told me because I might have fallen under my radar. But I did not want to take the chance. Yes, it's expensive as hell. And it's a chance, but I'm a completist on Valiant. I don't care who's writing it or what is going on. I want to have the entire universe and I want to know everything that happens in that universe. Or alternate universes, or whatever you want to call it. I want to know everything that happens with those characters. So I did buy that one. So, and like I had a bunch of Kickstarters, four Kickstarters that I mentioned today. And they're starting to trickle in, but those aren't ones that I've gotten recently. I've been real picky on, what I'm getting going forward. And I have so many still on the way. Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit asked, any of the DC fandom announcements pique your interest? The Black Adam trailer looked awesome. A lot of the trailers looked, the Batman trailer looked sweet. I like the look of that. It was mostly movie stuff. I don't think there was anything. The Suicide Squad game video. It looked like a video animation type thing. That looked awesome. So those were some things I looked forward to. And I've been on a mood swing with the DC animated. I've been watching a lot lately. Like the Long Halloween was incredible. It was probably my favorite that I've seen. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that Suicide Squad because those that know me, Suicide Squad is a property that I just adore. I think that's all the questions I'm going to answer today because I only have one left and I'm going to have to save that one so I at least have one and then I'll have to request some more. So, having said that and going over my purchases, going over my questions, I'll get to the weekly reads. So we'll go over 2 weeks this time. I get tired when I go beyond 2 weeks, and I didn't really even take notes on these issues. So I think I didn't take notes on these because I read them when I was in Albuquerque. So this was September 20th through the 26th. We had only one movie that week. And this was a movie I purchased because I bought the comic, and the only way you could finish the comic is if you watch the movie. And I found out about it, and I purchased it on Amazon and watched the movie. It wasn't great. I gave it a 3 out of 5. It was called Spare Parts. And it's sort of like a horror post-apocalyptic thing where these punk rock girls in a band get followed by some mysterious guy and he takes them like to beyond Thunderdome to fight and they essentially cut off various limbs and put weapons on the limbs and then put them on in an arena to fight. And I gave that movie a 3 out of 5, whereas I gave the comic a 4 out of 5. So, let's go over the comic books that week. There weren't that many. And this has got me thinking a lot, is I'm not reading a lot like I should. I really need to cut down because I will never, ever get caught up. Even if I live long and have a good retirement of health, I gotta slow down. I gotta turn off the fire hose somehow, a little bit, just to consume this stuff because I want to read it. So, we had a total of, let's see, 13, 19, 20, 20 comics that week. We had one Source Point Press, 6 Marvel, 4 Image, 7 DC, 1 Binge Book, 1 Behemoth. We'll start at the bottom with the 3 out of 5s. I gave 3 out of 5 to Darling. This was a suicide book. So this is about a the author is telling a story about his brother who was a drug addict and it led to his death. And it's kind of like the story of his brother. And he's a lowlife. Like he goes with his friend to rob his ex-girlfriend, but he won't do the robbing. He wants his friend to do it because he still cares about her. But he needs the money for the drugs. So it's like stuff like that, but it really was depressing. I do want to see where it goes because it's this guy's emotional, roller coaster, trying to tell a story about his brother. So that was from Source Point Press. Heroes Human was a binge book. This is the Blue Baron and crew, several of characters that Sit Comics developed and had their own individual issues. They were in a team, kind of like the Justice League, and they had to deal with the threat from space. It was written by Roger Stern with art by Ron Frenz, one of my favorites, inked by Sal Buscema, and there was another inker. And I tried to like look at the pages and see the difference, and I think Sal only inked a couple. I really do. And then this other guy, I can't remember his name, inked the rest of it. But it was a fun book. I look forward to see where the next issue goes. I gave it a 3 out of 5. Whereas I've read other Sight Comics or binge books that I have liked more, specifically the Blue Baron. I think that comic is my favorite that they put out, and that one was never able to buy through Diamond Comics. This one was. These ones you had to have a your store request them from Sight Comics, and then they would send comics over there, and you can purchase them. And nobody wanted to do that, so luckily, Eric from Cowabunga did support Sight Comics, and I ordered a bundle from him. Cowabunga Comics is really a place to go for your comics. And you say, well, hey, Mike, don't you go to DCBS? I go to DCBS because I like Christina, the Mecklers, and I've been with them, and they've been very good to me. And when somebody's very good to me, I don't leave, even though, part of me wants to go to Eric and Cowabunga, and their service is better because I could actually talk to somebody. But I really want to thank Eric. He sent my Bad Idea comics, and he sent me two exclusive covers that Bob Layton did for the New Harbinger series, along with a facsimile edition of Harbinger number one with a new cover. It was, God, it was a real surprise. And he put a note in there. It was real personal, and it was saying, thanks for your positivity and helping the comic book medium in general. And I was real gracious to get a message like that. Like, I don't know who listens. I don't know who likes me and who doesn't. But every now and then I get like an email or something, once a year or something, and it hits you, and you know that the stuff that you do really matters to somebody. So yeah, that was a real special thing to get. He didn't have to do that, and he did it, and I really am appreciative, and I appreciate Cowabunga Comics for getting me my Bad Idea comics and getting me, some of the other stuff like the Sight Comics and the TKO books and some of the stuff that are hard to get and DCBS doesn't carry. So yeah, I'm real thankful to have Eric as a friend, and he's a great retailer, and Cowabunga has been really good to me. Even several years ago, they got a bunch of funny books, and he's like, "Mike, do you want crack at these?" And he basically sent me, and I paid, I don't know, $3 an issue. I can't remember what the price was, but I got a lot of like Daffy Duck, Bugs Bunny, a lot of Warner Brothers properties, a lot of weird, strange stuff. 'Cause Eric knows that I like strange stuff. Like the other couple weeks ago, he said, I got a Heavy Metal number one, but it had a lot of water damage, and God, that's one of my pet peeves is water damage. But I have an opportunity to buy a lot of heavy metal, but man, to get into heavy metal, like I buy heavy metal currently, the second volume, and I enjoy it. But once you start missing issues and stuff, it's like hard to get back in because it's an anthology and every story is at a different point, But yeah, that's why I stopped getting Rebellion 2000 AD. Not because I wasn't enjoying it, but because sometimes DCBS would miss an order, and that was four books. And then I'd get the next one, and then I was like, I don't know what's going on anymore. So, where was I? Okay, so the 4 out of 5s was Infinite Frontier. This was a very fun DC comic book. It involved a lot of strange characters, mostly Arsenal or Roy Harper, and he got like the Black Lantern ring and hinted that his daughter might be alive. You know, that was part of his goal. It had Alan Scott with his son Obsidian looking for Jade because Jade was missing. It had the Justice League Incarnate, Val Zod, Superman. It had a lot of stuff going on, and it was told in a fashion by Williamson of the New 52. So if you were into that weekly series, the New 52, you'd probably dig the story beats of Infinite Frontier. And it sort of ended on a non-ending, like something that was leading to a new comic book that's coming called Justice League Incarnate. So you'll have to check out the sequel. But it did deal with Darkseid and other villains, Psycho Pirate, really well-told story. And sometimes in stories, when things are compressed or decompressed, it takes forever to get going. These ones felt like you were getting like a good chunk of story in each issue. So I gave that a 4 out of 5. So now we're in the 4 out of 5s. Spider-Man Unlimited Volume 2. This was a real surprise to me. I didn't even know this thing existed. These were done in one stories, and they're sort of not always told from Peter Parker's standpoint. They're sometimes told through other human beings or people that are in the story, and they're told by a lot of obscure writers or authors. And it had more artists that I've heard of than the writers, you know. But I really dug it, and I dug the done-in-one story nature of it. I don't own these except for 2 issues. I own them. One of them I got into because it had an Eric Larson cover. That was it, and that's how I found out about this thing. And I've missed a lot of Marvel in the past. You know, I've always thought if I was to make cut, Marvel would be it, because I still have Marvel Unlimited, and I can catch most of that stuff. So if I do make cutbacks, it'll probably be, you know, Marvel, and I'll still continue to love and read comics in Marvel. I will just be doing it slightly differently, and stick to paper on certain titles. Like I'll pick like titles where I have a lot of runs on or invested in a character, like Black Panther or Daredevil. Moon Knight, you know, Amazing Spider-Man, Hulk, some of the ones that they've always had a series, Captain America, Thor, Avengers, and then stay away from some of the other ones and the tie-ins and stuff, and just read those on the app. So that might be a strategy going down the path. I haven't really decided yet. I've been thinking about it a lot, pondering a lot, because I'm getting older and I have so much fucking comic books, and I want to read them all, but I'm averaging, you know, 20 books a week, and I'm never gonna get there. If I'm getting 110 books a week, do the math, you know. I'm always 4 weeks at take me 4 weeks to catch up. And as I get older, I get it more exhausted, you know, like I'm still going at the same pace at work. And but it takes more out of me. So when I get home, I want to eat dinner and I want to crash out. Like I'll watch one program with Barb, and she stays up till like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I'm out at 9, and then I pop up at 4 a.m. and I might read a comic, but I get on the elliptical and watch a program. And then go to work, you know, shower, take Harley for a walk, and then go to work. So my reading is all done on the weekend, and I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna be sick tomorrow and not want to read. Man, Barb's jalapenos are growing pretty big. She's got those indoor light grown, and the jalapenos are my favorite so far. She does, you know, cherry tomatoes too, but the jalapenos are definitely like, and then she's got like these carnivore plants, you know, like the one, the fly catcher, and this other one that grows like this sticky thing and like catches fruit flies. And then they digest the bug. It's pretty interesting. But Echolands was really entertaining. Well told sideways book by J.H. Williams and Blackman. You know, they've worked together before on Batwoman, and now they're back telling a sideways landscape book. And they have a staple on the side, but it's really well done. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Spawn 321. I don't remember what happened that specific issue. King Spawn. That was dealing with the clown coming back, and I have more notes on number two than I had on number one, but those were 4 out of 5s. Spare Parts, I've already talked about. This was the intro. And as far as the movie like took right out of the comic book, and the movie was done before the comic book, but I don't know if the storyboards came right out of there, because it was like verbatim, like it the beats of the comic book were exactly like the movie, except the comic book was better, well done, because just because of actors and effects and stuff, you could get away with better stuff in the comic book. And then Savage Dragon 260. This is the wedding of Paul and Alex. And Savage Dragon, you know, Paul is like the original Savage Dragon's memories are in Paul, and he's Dragon with the short fin. And they got married. Savage Dragon kills Torment, and that's Malcolm. Malcolm refuses to be at Paul's best man. Lots of stuff going on emotionally. We got the 5 out of 5s. We got G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, 119 to 122. This is the Baroness and Destro attacked by Cobra Commander, and the Joes are trying to help. G.I. Joe Ninja Force is evading the castle, and they're getting fighting off Slice and Dice and the Red Ninjas, Flint and Scarlet and Duke, I believe, and a couple other ones are driving cars up to the base of the castle, and then the like in the next few issues they're getting chased by the Cobra. It's fucking crazy. And that the castle has this Destro has the castle. I love Destro and Baroness. I think they've become my favorite characters. I like love the relationship they have with each other. And the castle, you know, they have these levers and it like turns into an Eschner painting or where, you know, this it morphs into different modes. It's insane. But we have Why the Last Man, number 1 through 4. I was inspired to read that because I was enjoying the TV series. I've heard a lot of people aren't enjoying the TV series, but it, you know, I've heard other podcasters say it's not like the comic book, but I think it's a lot like the comic book. Yeah, the Amazons are a little different, but they come in later. And she does have the one breast, but as far as like what's happening, there's similar story beats. So I don't know what the complaint is, and I do hope that it does. Matter of fact, it reminds me that me and Barb need to, you know, finish it. Barb has this mentality that if a series does not finish, that she does like maybe she should drop off, and I don't feel that way. Like I if an ep if it ends on a cliffhanger, that's okay for me. You know, I w still want to watch what I want to watch. So hopefully she'll say. I'll ask her, you know, do you want to watch Why the Last Man with me? Or does she want to move on? Oh, we got back into the films that made us and watched the Michael Myers Halloween last night. And I know today she's getting her shingles shot, which is the second one's supposed to be uber painful and causes side effects. More so than the first one. The first one's like when you take your first Moderna or Pfizer, you know, nothing, you don't feel nothing and usually feel pretty good. The second one, on the shingle shot, supposed to make you. So me and Barb did what we thought and said, we have to work, and we can't take off. So let's see if we could schedule our shots on Friday. So I got my, Moderna. I still got to do my shingles, but she got her shingles today, or she's going to get her shingles today. And then bring home dinner. So that's why I decided to record and talk to you all. And then we had Joker 5 through 7. I can't say enough. Those are 5 out of 5s. The series and the backup with Punchline are highly entertaining. It's really a Jim Gordon story. But it's so well told, and the Joker pops in and out of it as Jim Gordon is going after him. And he in these issues, you do find out, that he's not the one that took down Arkham that on that one night. He says, "Jim, that wasn't me." And they have that special relationship because of what he did to Barbara, his daughter. So. And Barbara is in this comic book as well, and she's got like she's trying to look after her dad because she knows what he's doing, and that he's being funded to go kill the Joker by this secret organization, and then you got the female Bane also going to try to kill the Joker, so. Yeah, it's just a spectacular story. And then we'll go over one more week, which was 9/27 through October 3rd. And it's funny because I don't think I'll ever be caught up on this podcast. I always think I'll be like a month behind. And it seems like I try to put one out a week. I'll have weeks where I don't do a Mike M's Weekly Reads, and that puts me behind. And then I try to do 2 weeks to try to catch up, and then I might get like. But it seems like I had one. The last 3 weeks, I've at least done one, and I've tried to do 2 weeks or more. So you'd think I'd get closer to catching up, but then I fall behind again, and I'll probably do that again for the Thanksgiving week. Unless I get that like remote recorder working, I used to have that, and plug in USB and be able to record myself, but I haven't done that in a long time. But we'll go over this week. We'll talk about things I watched. The 4 out of 5s were Venom, Let There Be Carnage that week. I enjoyed that movie. I've heard a lot of people say that wasn't as good as the first one. But maybe because Woody Harrelson was featured, and I'm such a fan of Woody Harrelson as an actor, that I really enjoyed this. Really cool story, I thought. I had a lot of fun with Let There Be Carnage. A lot of surprises too. There's things in that movie that I didn't think they would have the balls to do. But they did it. I wouldn't have done it because I think there's more juice for some of the characters, but you'll see when you watch it. And then the 5 out of 5 was Who Killed Sarah Season 2. Absolutely fantastic. And I let Bill Bomer know about it, and he started watching it. And he's seeing what I saw. Like he's saying, it starts off kind of strange. There looks plot holes and. It gets good. It really gets good. It really does. He watches it different than me, though. Like I watch it with the English dub over, and I like it that way. I like the voice actors that they get, and he can't stand them. He listens to the real foreign language, and then reads the subtitles. And I still read the subtitles because I'm near deaf, and I. Want the subtitles there so I can see what's going on. That's why I've actually went back to watching Blu-rays because some of those DC movies they come with a digital code, but the closed caption wasn't working for me on some of those things. So I decided just to pop in the Blu-ray so I could, have the closed caption, because I watch everything in closed caption nowadays. And I really think at some point, like when I'm 60, I'll probably be like deaf. I won't be able to podcast anymore. Unless they develop hearing aids for the opposite. Hearing aids are designed for hearing loss from the outside in and not from inside out, if that makes any sense. So I have an inverse hearing curve loss than what they design hearing aids for. And I heard there's a new hearing aid, though, that can take sound from the hearing aid in your bad ear and route it to your good ear. But the thing with my hearing is I have the same slope, the one that I lost the hearing in my right ear. I have the same hearing slope on, like, even the doctor, he's like, this is weird that, did something happen, or did you ever have, and I asked my mom, is this hereditary? Do you have this slope? And no, she's got the, even though the my mom's side of the family has really bad hearing, but their slopes are the normal slopes for hearing. And I don't know where my slope came from. Maybe my dad's side, but he's never had bad hearing. So, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever know where I got that weird slope from. So, that week I had 20 comic books. That's pretty much where I'm at. One Zenoscope, one Vault, two Marvel, four Image, four DC, five Dynamite, one Dark Horse, one Boom, and one Avatar. So it was a pretty good week. I read the Zenoscope. I gave it a 3 out of 5. It was the Grim Spotlight Red Agent, Beast of Belgium. This was Red Agent and her teammates take on a Nazi werewolf in present time. It was a decent read. I had fun with it. I enjoyed it. 3 out of 5. The 4 out of 5s were Wildcats number 21 from Image Comics. This is the first Alan Moore written Wildcats. It had Savant and Majestic forming a new team. This is also the first appearance of Lady Tron, and the art was by Travis Charest, which was, at that time, he was one of my favorites, and he was even doing later on DC Dark Stars. So if you know the Dark Stars, there were Donna Troy was a Dark Star at the time. I can't remember if John Stewart was a Dark Star, but there was several Dark Stars. It was a really good comic. Travis Charest was art on there. I read my first Sin City, which was in Dark Horse Comics Presents. I have never read it before, but I've seen the movies. The movies were amazing. And if you've been listening to this show, I've been on this Frank Miller tear on stuff that I hadn't read. Like I had read that Holy Terror, and then I said, hey, I really should read Sin City. And instead of getting a collected edition, which was probably would have made more sense, I decided to go to the source and read it there. So I got Dark Horse, and it was pretty affordable, which surprised me because this is the first Sin City. But it was visually stunning. It dealt with Marv, and he's dealing with the murder of a woman and then getting chased by police. Harlequin was the final story, and I had no idea what was going on. Heartbreakers was a sci-fi story about clones. Interesting letters page about Matt Wagner story in previous issues. It was an adult story where some homophobes and readers were going back and forth about the story. It was I haven't read the story, but it makes me really intrigued to read the story for sure, to see what spun up a lot of people going back and forth. There was even one guy that said he's real religious and he was sort of offended. but he hated how this guy was attacking Matt Wagner. So yeah, I'd be real interested to see what happened there. Dark Blood number 2, this is from Boom Studios. This was that World War One. Was it World War One? I think it was World War Two, but it's about a black fighter pilot coming back, and he does seem to have some abilities, which he came back. It was well written and drawn, and I'm digging it. Barbaric number 3. This was also a 4 out of 5. This was Barbaric and the Witch fight a demon horde, and then meet up with a friend who is now a vampire. We have Marvel Comics 72 and 73. I don't know if I didn't own these, and this is the Weapon X. I might have read this in a collected edition, but this is the Barry Windsor Smith Weapon X story, and this is part zero. There's also a cool Shayna the She-Devil story about her and others trying to start poachers. The last part of a Daredevil story dealing with a heat wave inside of New York City. Red Wolf story about asshole hunters shooting wolves and Harley saying, "Let me the fuck in, Dottie. Come on, Dottie. Let me in. I just had to go pee pee and it's cold outside." That's what she told me. I was just translating. And she says, "I'm also ready to eat, but it's not time. You eat at 6:30, and it's only 5, even though Dottie got home early." So, it seems like a lot of scientists who captured Logan had a little idea about his mutant abilities, which was really interesting. The Sheena story was really great, and the Black Knight and Namor, done in one stories were pretty good too. So I enjoyed those. I bought these recently as I was trying to complete my Marvel Comics Presents run. They weren't cheap. I bought them from Aaron Myers, kind of in a bulk, the Barry Windsor storyline, and started reading these. A matter of fact, I might read one for the Retro Review and Geek Brunch. But read another one because I was enjoying that. Robin number 5, it's the current run of the DC Comics. Damian gets to interact with all the other Robins before he re-enters the fight competition. Battlestar Galactica Classic Volume 1 through 5. I own these in singles, but I read them digitally in the middle of the night. I can't remember why, but I think I had just renewed my Marvel Unlimited, and I saw these pop up, and I said, "You know what? This is I'm still I was still on my free month, and I should read something, and this is something I wanted to read." I think what drove me to read it too is Liefeld was talking about when he had the Battlestar Galactica property at Maximum Comics, and it got me hungry to read, classic Battlestar Galactica, because as much as I like the new Battlestar Galactica, my heart is always with the classic. Like, it's not as complicated as the new one, and it's like sci-fi goodness. You got your pilots against the Cylons, and there's no religious undertones. There are there. By the way, that didn't just come from nowhere, but yeah, I liked it. It's good. Starbuck, Apollo, and Boomer go on a mission, and they're on stealth fighters to a Cylon-infested planet to retrieve writings that may lead them to Earth. They have the stealth Vipers, and Boomer and Starbuck get shot down and are believed to be dead. So Adama and everybody, they just take off. It's like, we can't rescue them. There's too much Cylons down there. They just say, "They're all dead. We're leaving." They are rescued by a band of rebels who form relationships with and steal a Cylon cargo ship to get back and try to find the Galactica. They're on the ship that is infested with Cylons, and they take it back to the fleet. Adama comes up with a plan, and they manage to control again the ship and blow up the Cylon base ship. So it looked like the Cylons were going to win. It was going to infect the take down the Galactica because they sort of got on and started taking over the Galactica, but they were doing some stealth maneuvers and Adama was hiding, and the crew eventually got back on the control of the Galactica and then ended up destroying a Cylon base ship. So we got Wonder Girl number one. Yara Flores goes on a bus tour in Brazil. Meanwhile, there are some strange events happening with the Greek gods, Themyscira, and other locations. Very enjoyable, 4 out of 5. We have Superboy from 2010. This is the Jeff Lemire run, number one and two. This is one of the series that I wanted to read for the DC Spotlight, but it didn't win. But I decided to read issues one and two again. Superboy gets established in Smallville with his friend Simon Valentine. He's kind of like Superboy's Lex Luthor. In the first issue, he has a rough battle with Parasite and is saved by Simon, who knows his identity. Then he gets fouled up by Poison Ivy to retrieve a device, and Simon helps him again with parasite frogs. He somehow got these parasite abilities on the frogs and was able to take down Poison Ivy. It was a really good issue. We have CUDA number one. This is an Avatar. It's a 5 out of 5. I really like this. This is Sword and Sorcery by Tim and Joe Vahil. Tim Vahil, you might know from Faust and other books, but I think Tim Vahil is mostly known for Faust. But he did a lot of stuff for Rebel Comics and North Star, a lot of shock horror, and he does a lot of nudity. So that also exists in CUDA. CUDA is a barbarian who hates magic and seeks to destroy it all. He runs into one-eyed beautiful thief who has similar goals, destroy all magic. Plus, a giant ape is ripping people apart. And that giant ape was controlled by a sorcerer. And there was this old man who was trying to get his daughter back. He had given his daughter to this sorcerer so he wouldn't take his land and his crops. And he said, okay, I have your daughter now. But he decides later on he didn't want to give his daughter back and goes after the sorcerer. And he's like, you can have my land. And the sorcerer's, nope, I got your daughter. I got your virgin daughter. I want to have sex with her and she's going to be my slave. And the father's like, fuck that. I was wrong in giving you my daughter. I am going to beat the shit out of you with this rake. And, he set this giant gorilla after the farmer and sort of ripped him apart. We have Savage Dragon miniseries. This is about the seventh time I've read it. I think I revisit this almost every year. I love Savage Dragon, 5 out of 5. I read this digitally, also on Marvel. Comixology Unlimited. I think there's not much. They have a lot of Dynamite Battlestar Galactica, but they don't have a lot of Savage Dragon. There's this and maybe one other option to go read if you want to read Savage Dragon. But every year I have been rereading the Savage Dragon miniseries, and I just love it. For me, this is one of the greatest creations in comics. Eric Larson is my spirit animal. Like I just love him. And he could do no wrong, but the image creators are, I just love them. I adore them all. I adore them all. So I want to thank you for listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads and putting up with me. You can send me questions at mike@comicbooknoise.com, or better yet, at Twitter, at Mike Myers Brunch. And send me questions so I have some discussion topics to talk about in future episodes. I'd really appreciate them. So on that note, I'll be back and hopefully in another week. I think so. Maybe not. I might be off the next 2 weeks because of Thanksgiving. But I'll try to get one out on the next Friday that we at least have one ready so when I get back I can post it. But please send me questions. I only have one more in the can. I could use some more questions for upcoming episodes. And you can find this at podcast at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can also go to Facebook and type in Geek Brunch Podcast, click the like button. Follow all the episode threads there, such as Geek Brunch, Mike M's Weekly Reads, Geek Brunch Retrocast. There's also some other wonderful podcasts there that I need to get back to, but they're on like a temporary hiatus until I have more time. So you'll always find those three there. And then on DC, you'll find at DC Spotlight with me and Kyle. Haven't been able to do that infrequently. But I'm trying to schedule also a DC Everything Else for this Sunday, so maybe I can get, one or two of the guys out of the four to meet with me on Sunday to talk some DC Everything Else. But that DC Noise podcast includes DC Everything Else and DC Spotlight. So we'll talk to you soon, and I hope you stay safe. As I hit the pause button, have a good weekend. Bye.